The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Inside the Huddle. It is Sunday evening after a win at Maryland. Indiana knocked off the Terrapins 47-28. It was a crazy game. Maryland jumped out to a 21-3 lead. Indiana responded with a 44-7 run. It was a game that, you know, many people on Twitter were freaking out about early. And then they calmed down and Indiana got their fifth win of the season. I will be joined by Nick Holmes here shortly to go over what we liked, what we didn't like, and we'll do a little preview of the Bucket Week. It is a huge week coming up for Indiana, going for their sixth win, their third straight bucket. It would be the first time, I believe, since 1947 that they had won three straight buckets or more. I believe they won four straight from 44-47, but check your record book. I could be wrong. Anyway, there are a lot of good things going on in that win against Maryland. Nate Sudfeld looked very, very sharp, and we'll see where they go from now. Nick, welcome to the show. It's you and me tonight. TJ is on daddy duty. So how are you, Nick?
Not too bad. I'm actually walking to my car out in the nice November weather. It's I think winter is here, and looks like it might be clearing up in a couple of days, hopefully.
Yeah, you know, I don't mind the cold, but as long as it's not precipitating, unless it's a real blizzard, because that'll be fun on Saturday. But as long as it's not a, you know, 33-degree rain, I think we'll be good to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you there.
So Nick, Indiana obviously knocked off Maryland for their fifth win of the year, their first Big Ten win. What did you take away from the game? I know it was a shaky start there at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, there was just a lot of positives to come from that. The first thing that, you know, Mitchell Page has been good all year, but yesterday he showed up. And, you know, even more so than him, we had another good games out of a couple other former walk-ons, Andre Booker, and Ben Bach came in reserve action at cornerback. And looked really strong as well. So, you know, that was really encouraging to see. And then TJ did a piece a few weeks ago, and we've been talking about Simi Cobbs all year. And yesterday he was just on another level that really excites me for what we might get out of him, you know, the rest of the season and in the future.
Yeah, Simi Cobbs was pretty amazing yesterday. I believe he had 9 catches for 192 yards. He did not reach pay dirt, but those are both career highs for him. Mitchell Page had a nice game, 5 catches, I think around 60 yards and 2 scores. He really did a good job getting IU back into the game with that touchdown to get it to 21-10. He also did a solid job in the punt return game. He caught the punts he needed to catch. The only punt that went over his head, you know, if he fielded it, it would have been a bad play. He would have caught it Willie Mays style, and you could have fumbled mm-hmm. it and let Maryland back in the game there. But he was terrific, and he was a guy you feel really good for because he had been taking these losses so hard. I mean, everyone has, him and Marcus Oliver and all the guys you talk to. But Mitchell is one of the guys we always talk to. And he was, you know, you feel really good for him and the rest of the team about, you know, getting off the schneid there. And coming back, Nick, I pointed this out to Matt Weaver, who I was sitting next to at the game for most of the game, was this is a game in years past that IU doesn't come back in. You know, it was I believe it was tied for the third largest comeback in school history. This is a game under previous regimes that maybe ends, you know, 55-17 or 55-10. Do you agree?
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. You know, there's not quit in this team. And I read a quote this morning in the newspaper that Coach Wilson had, and you may have heard this too, is Coach Wilson told the guys preparing for the game, hey, whether we're up 28-3 or we're down 21-3, you got to keep your head in the game. And they definitely did. We've said it, you know, we've talked about it to TJ. This team could have very easily packed it in at any point in this season, and yet they still come out week after week and put up a competitive effort against, regardless of what level of talent they're going up against, regardless of how good the team is, they're laying it all on the field. Now, unfortunately, that didn't result in wins in the prior six games, but you obviously could see the potential in the growth of the team, and yesterday was just another step that said, hey, we're down 21-3, you know, keep playing your game, things will shake out, and they did, you know. I mean, it was just, you know, in just a few short plays, momentum was totally swung. You had that onside kick that was just a thing of beauty. I mean, we have to give a shout-out to Griffin Oaks, and you may have done this earlier, but, you know, what was he, 4-for-4 on field goals, 5-for-5 extra points, and William Likely was pretty much nullified in the return game. He was pretty much absent, and that was something that we both really hammered on going into this game, was limiting Likely's impact in the special teams, because all it takes is a couple big returns, and their offense, you know, it was pretty much predicated on Brandon Ross's, you know, running game, so they didn't have a lot of other things going on. So if Likely would have had as big an impact as he potentially could have, the outcome would have likely been different. Excuse the pun.
Yeah, and also credit on the onside kick also to Rashard Fant, who caught it. And
yep,
it was a perfectly executed onside kick. And if you watch it again, it is a thing of beauty. And I think Griffin Oaks is 2-for-2 this year, and I believe he's 5-for-6 in his career on onside kicks, which might be more impressive than his field goals, which are equally impressive. You know, they're
mm-hmm.
impressive as is, but I mean, five for six on onside kicks is unreal. You know, I've never seen somebody do that like that. But yeah, the coverage team is great. I think when we talked to Griffin on Monday last week, he said that the team was going to try and sky kick, and I think that's what they did. You know, he had 3 or 4 touchbacks, but they sky kicked it to Likely, and the first return was probably his best, and they almost got a fumble out of it. It was just that, you know, one of the kids from Maryland made a great play and knocked it out of bounds
mm-hmm.
before one of the IU defenders could jump on it. But, you know, William Likely just couldn't get it going, and he,
mm-hmm.
I believe they never got past the 20 to start a drive. And Eric Toth deserves credit as well. He didn't punt that much, but when he did punt, he kept it away from Likely, and I believe it's Tavon Jacobs. I came in for Likely at the end after an ankle injury. So, you know, special teams, big shout out to those guys. They did terrific. And, you know, it was a whole team effort. You saw them
yeah.
fall behind and really keep their heads in. And you know, Wilson was a little bit prophetic in your quote. And then I think he joked about it. He said he wished he was up 28-3 instead of down 21-3.
Yeah, a name that we haven't brought up yet and definitely deserves a lot of praise is Divine Redding. He had his best game as a Hoosier, you know, when Howard went out with his knee thing, who we hope that can get back by this Saturday. But Divine also had a great game. They had to respect the run game. And, you know, obviously the offensive line deserves a lot of kudos because they, you know, I pointed out in my stats piece on Friday that I think Maryland had the 5th most sacks in the nation. And for the most part, aside from that early sack, fumble, interception, whatever you want to call it, did a great job of keeping Sudfeld safe and allowing him to make the reads and have arguably his best game as a Hoosier.
Yeah, that they changed that sack, fumble, interception. You know, after watching it, I think it was an interception, but they still ruled it a sack and a fumble just to give that guy that record-setting sack. But in the press box, the PA announcer changed it 4 or 5 times. So, but yeah, the offensive line was great. I thought Divine Redding, now Howard, I think he got hurt on that first drive and never came back. People were texting me that you know, the Maryland defenders were twisting ankles and twisting legs, and maybe that's one of the reasons that Howard got nicked up. But Wilson said he was okay. He could have come back, but Indiana had it in the bag by then. And Devine really played well. He had one big run, I think, 40 yards. And then otherwise, he chipped away and let Nate Sudfeld and the receivers go to work. And, you know, enough can't be said about Simi Cobbs. He had a tremendous day after the catch as well. They don't have an official yak yardage stat, but he had so many yards that he could have had more. There was that one seam play there late in the game where he took his eye off the ball, I think, a little bit, and he might have scored, but it would have gone for at least 50 yards. So a lot of good things coming out of it. This team could have folded up camp and just gone home and said, hey, it's season's over. Let's just go play at Purdue and you know, we'll see what happens and bring it back next year. But, you know, as Wilson's teams have always done, and we've seen it the last couple of years, they don't quit. And mm-hmm. It would have been very easy for this team to quit. So credit to them. It sets up an epic, you know, almost 2007-ish matchup against Purdue for a bowl berth. I do believe that even if IU does fall short of six wins, that they at 5-7 they do squeak in, because there are a lot of teams who are not going to get the six wins, and I think with the APR stuff, but that's a discussion for another day. Going right into this Purdue game, I think they should win. I think they opened up as 5-point favorites, but there's a lot on the line here, and this is a huge game for IU.
Yeah, I mean, like we were texting earlier about just the – I mean, I don't want to face going into December with a 5-7 record. Let's just go ahead and pick up that sixth win. You know, Coach Wilson picked up his second conference road victory this past week, so let's go ahead and pick up number three at Purdue. Obviously, Purdue is ailing a little bit, having a really down year. So really it's just start prepping and, you know, take care of business the next 4 or 5 days. And hopefully a lot of Hoosier fans make that trip up there. I mean, there's really not been any bigger game.
No, this is probably the biggest game since 07. You know, they had that chance against Wisconsin in 2012 to sneak in to the Big Ten championship game. That obviously didn't go well. But this is a game they should win, even though it's a rivalry game. Purdue's going to come out on fire. You know that they would love nothing more than to dash Indiana's season up at Rossade. You know, we've seen it before. So you could throw the stats and the records and everything out the window. But this is also a Purdue team that, if Indiana jumps out on them, man, this could be like 2013, where Indiana goes up big and doesn't look back. And I don't think Wilson would take his foot off the gas like he did that year. But man, get up big, and you can see Purdue folding up camp. They have a history of doing that this year. I mean, they got trounced by Illinois. They let up 48 points to Minnesota. I mean, we'll watch tape on it, but it does not look like even a good Purdue team. It's not even a mediocre Purdue team. This is a bad Purdue team. They're 2-9. That Indiana should come out and have its way with. Jordan Howard should be back. We'll find out more tomorrow, probably. If not, I still think Devine Redding and Mike Majette, he looked banged up too. But Mike Majette and Devine Redding should have their way, as well as the offensive line with this Purdue defense.
Yeah, you hit on all the important parts. It's just getting the guys healthy and ready for this last run. And I think, you know, most importantly is, you know, not only becoming bowl eligible and ending up, and, you know, we've speculated if that time comes, where they might end up, and regardless of what location, getting to bowl games, a huge accomplishment for this program, obviously, but it's that extra 2 or 3 weeks of program building practice that, you know, can't be overlooked more than anything. Is it's just opportunity to have 15 more practices that you wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah, and that's a time where you could get these young guys and people that you have redshirted some reps. So these young secondary players get some reps. They get some rest. Like guys like Jonathan Crawford have played almost every single down this year, and they're used to playing 12-minute quarters in football games, and their season's usually over by now. But I mean, those 15 practices would be huge. You rest some of the veteran guys who've been a little banged up. You get Howard some rest. So you know, those 15 practices would be great for the development of the program. Plus, you revitalize the fan base a little bit. Even if you go, you know, knock on wood, we don't go to Detroit, I won't complain that much if we end up doing. I'll complain a little bit, but I won't complain that much if they go to the Quick Lanes Bowl in Detroit. But, you know, it's still 15 practices. And you're right, Nick, that's huge.
Yeah, and I mean, from a perception standpoint, obviously it's going to do a lot for recruiting too. You know, because we do, in the past, Coach Wilson has entertained a lot of official visits during that month of December. And when he can bring these guys in and say, hey, look, we're practicing for a bowl game. You know, this is what it looks like. Do you want to be a part of it? Obviously, we got things headed in the right direction. That right there is another huge selling point. You know, it's not anymore just, hey, we are headed in the right direction, or, you know, we've accomplished a goal, and now we're just going to continue to grow. So that right there, the recruiting, the extra practices, all that just culminates into an even more successful program down the road, which has to be really exciting if they take care of business on Saturday, and they have to take care of business on Saturday.
Yeah, and to go on to your recruiting thing, I believe that Kevin Wilson does deserve an extension and come back next year. I thought that this win and the way they've played the whole season, it deserves to be brought back. Aside from that Rutgers game, his team has been always in these games and having a chance to win. So, you know, I'd like to see them, you know, maybe announce it tomorrow that they're extending him, but Glass is in Maui probably, and that might not get done until next week after Purdue. But I think it would help so much in recruiting to where these guys who are on the fence and their coaches telling them, hey, he might not be back, just to say, hey, Kevin Wilson will be back next year. He's going to get a year or two extension and really get onto that second contract would help out in recruiting immensely and really maybe bolster this class, which is sitting, I think, at 89 right now. And if he does get an extension, it could shoot up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, this next week is obviously one of the biggest weeks for the Kevin Wilson-led Indiana program, and I want nothing more for them to, you know, continue on this growth progress because, you know, like you said, we've been competitive. They've been competitive in every game aside from the Penn State game, which obviously you're down a couple of your best players, and it's hard to go into Happy Valley and win anyway, especially if, even at full strength. It's not been something that IU's ever been able to do in the past. So that game aside, this team has demonstrated that, you know, we're in games that in years past, regardless of which coaching staff, they weren't going to be in. By the second or third quarter, game was over. They weren't entertaining. And, yeah, they didn't win conference games 1-6, but they were there.
Yeah, they were right there. They're a couple, you know, I hate saying this, but they're a couple plays away. And this team really could be 6-4 or 6-5 or maybe even 7-4 going into this final game. And it would be tough to sit here at 5 wins. I know at the beginning of the year we all said a bowl game or he's gone. But he had expected those games to Ohio State, Michigan State, you know, Michigan, those to be blowouts and so forth. But they have been really, really competitive and put themselves in position to win those games. So, you know, and this hasn't been the best IU roster. This is a young team for the most part. They have great lines on both sides of the ball, but they're really lacking, you know, top-end talent in the secondary, and they have young talent at wide receiver. So, you know, this is not on paper the best IU team in the Wilson era, and yet they're competing. They're right there with these top programs in the country. And, you know, it would be hard to, you know, tear it down at this point and say, hey, let's start over. Let's, you know, I hate saying that they can't get a coach over like 30 other programs, but you know, it's a seller's market right now, and we'll see where it goes. So I really hope that they announce an extension soon. I do believe Glass is in Maui for basketball, of course, but you know, it would really bolster recruiting, and definitely what you said about the bowl practices and hosting recruits then really would help as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's deserved at this point. And I, when I talk to IU fans, they're definitely been mixed, but the ones that really pay attention, that have really paid attention to football for more than, you know, the last 3 months, that have actually been at the deepest point in the last 20 years, they can acknowledge the fact that, yeah, we haven't won some games that we probably could have or even should have, but we can see that progress is being made. And that's really about, you know, for one of the – that you were talking about, you know, going out and grabbing a better coach or, you know, IU is a tough sell, and you know that, I know that, and anybody who knows IU football history, it's – the losingest program in FBS football. So it's not like you're going to go out and regardless of what sum of money you throw at anybody, it's not, you're not going to draw Nick Saban anyway. So I think a slow build, although it can be frustrating, you know, you got to have patience. So I think for those IU fans that, you know, are aware of that IU is staying in games that they wouldn't have in years past, that this could be a very rewarding growth period over the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, and you know, you just bear with this program, I think, for now, especially, you know, if they had gone 3-9 or 4-8 and lost out, it's a different story. But, you know, they got a shot to get to 6, and that was the ultimate goal for the regular season. Now, of course, you want to get to 7 in the postseason. They might. They might get a good bowl matchup and win one of these games, but you know, it's all about winning, getting the fans excited for next year. I think 6 wins, you bring back most of your team. Now they need a quarterback. It looks like they might get Richard Legault or Legu as a JUCO, but you know, if you bring him in, then you really have something cooking. It looks like Howard's probably going to come back, especially after being banged up last week. You know, I think his NFL stock took a hit last week being injured. You know, he has the talent. He has, you know, the running style and ability to go to the NFL. And maybe the injuries push him to it. But, you know, I think that would really hurt his stock in that way. But if he's back, then you have, you know, two more freshman running backs coming in. You have another year of Redding, who has been a solid backup. And you have Majette back there. So this team next year is something the fans could get behind and really, you know, maybe come out and support this team a little bit better than they have during the year this year.
Yeah, to that point. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say that to that point about, you know, anytime a player gets injured in any sport, collegiately, professionally, I saw a little bit of this on Twitter yesterday that really just kind of bothered me is, you know, when a player's injured, have some respect. Don't tweet, you know, negative comments towards him. You don't honestly know the level of the injury the player's dealing with. So just try to stay classy, whether you're nagging on an opposing team's player or your own player. Just try to avoid, you know, social media is a great tool, but at the same time, it can be one of the most poorly used tool. So just keep that in mind, Indiana fans. Just try to keep it classy.
Yeah, well, and that'll bring me to my next point. It was, you know, watching the game, it was like a microcosm of the season almost. And you saw when they got down 21-3, you saw Dan Dockich tweeting that, you know, if Kevin Wilson blows this game, he should be fired. You saw Bob Kravitz tweeting, who had been at one media availability all year for IU, saying that this is it. You know, you see all the cockroaches come into the light. when they were down. And then when they tied it, or when it got to 21-17, when they took the lead 24-21, you saw them all go away. And that,
yep.
I mean, I was laughing in the press box at that. It's like, God, these people, like, what's wrong with you people? And look, if you have a problem with me saying that, then, you know where to find me. It's HoosierHuddle.com. It's at Hoosier_Huddle on Twitter. You know, tweet me, email me, say it to my face. I don't really care, but, you know, the perception of the program on these, I wouldn't say national level, but elite local sportscasters is unbelievable sometimes. But Nick, going forward into, we'll talk about Purdue here for the last few minutes. Just what needs to happen for IU to come away with the bucket again?
You know, going into the Maryland game, if a team's weak in an area, look to exploit it. And I said, you know, Maryland coming into that game was 30% on third down conversions. And I said, don't let them get any better than that. And IU's defense responded. Maryland was only 3-for-16 on the day. They were, as you pointed out earlier this afternoon, 2-of-6 on fourth down. If IU, I mean, we've said it, this isn't even a mediocre Purdue team. Don't let them, allow a Markell Jones or whoever else is in the backfield on that day, break free for 30, 40, 50-yard runs. Not like you did Brandon Ross and you find yourself in a hole. You aren't going to have as easy time coming back on a Purdue team at home, in my opinion. I mean, there's just the whole rivalry aspect. It's just a little bit harder to come back. If that happens, then I'll gladly be wrong. And just do what you do right. You know, whatever that is, whatever you can exploit on that day, depending on the weather conditions, whether it's a passing game. Obviously, we saw that at full strength yesterday, whether it's Jordan Howard and Devine Redding, an offensive line busting up the field for 20, 30-yard runs. So, yeah, I mean, this is a game where you should be able to exploit their weaknesses and take advantage of your strengths. It really isn't a game that, you know, it takes a lot of scheming for, in my opinion. You should be able to do what you do well and take advantage of a weak Purdue squad.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nick. You know, aside from the obvious, score more points than them. It's my key every week for an IU football win or any team that I root for, score more points than their opponent. It's just take their will. And they almost did that at Maryland on that opening drive, and they settled for a field goal. And I think if they had scored a touchdown there, you saw Maryland's defense walking around, their heads down, they're kind of defeated, and then all of a sudden you get held to a field goal and Maryland goes on a 21-0 run. And then they put it away at the end like they did. That's what you're going to have to do is put this game away early. Hopefully you'll see a lot of IU fans come out to this game, probably more than Purdue fans. It'll be interesting to see because it really hasn't, you know, I have not seen a bucket game since I've been an IU fan like this, where Purdue has been bad and IU has been the good team, or the team fighting for a bowl game. So it'll be interesting to see what the road dynamic is there. But if you go up, you know, 2, 3, 4 scores, step on their throat and put it away. And I think Purdue will, you know, submit pretty easily after that, even if it is a bowl game. They do have a history of just laying down when the stuff hits the fan.
Yep. No, you're exactly right. This is a golden opportunity that there's no reason that IU shouldn't be able to take advantage of it early and often. And like you said, step on their throat and let's not, you know. I enjoyed yesterday. Yeah, it wasn't as entertaining game in the fourth quarter, but I enjoyed not having the stress, so.
Yeah, it was a nice, relaxing game there in the second half. I thought, you know, the game was pretty much in the bag, especially the way Maryland was playing. They kind of went into very conservative mode, running the ball, not passing much. Their quarterbacks were awful, by the way. They were probably worse than advertised. Perry Hills did not play because of mono. But Caleb Rowe got knocked out with a concussion, but he was awful. He couldn't throw, hit water, standing 4 feet in the water at the beach. and the other guy, I think Cockrell, came in throwing sidearm, and he couldn't hit open guys. So, you know, we'll see if David Blau plays or if it's going to be Austin Appleby. But we'll break that down on Wednesday. Anyway, Nick, thanks for joining us. You can follow Nick at Hoosier Homes on Twitter. Thanks for stepping up, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday, hopefully.
Yeah, and if not, I'll see you in the box on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll be up there. Hopefully all you IU fans, there's plenty of tickets on StubHub for pretty cheap, I believe. Take a look. Go on up. We'll be up there. It might be cold, but, you know, go root the Hoosiers on to a bowl game. Anyway, thanks for joining us. We'll post it on the website, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
See you later.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Oh, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.